So in preparation for the baptism today, we're going to talk for a little bit, and I would like your help with this. To begin with, can anybody help me finish this phrase, what goes up? Excellent. What goes up must come down. And so I have something here. Let's see. So I have a basketball. So if I throw this basketball up in the air, what's going to happen? You think so? Yeah. Let's see if it works today. You're right. Excellent. And it didn't even get in the water. So that's good. So yeah, what goes up must come down. So that happens with a basketball. When else does that happen? So yeah. An apple. Yes. Great. If we jump, we come down. That's good. Yeah. A tennis ball. Good. A computer. I'll keep mine up here if you don't mind. That's good, yeah. Oh, now there's a good idea. We like that, when you jump in the water and you come back to the surface. Yeah, so buoyancy, good. A balloon, yeah. A baseball, great. So now I want to think a little bit more, I guess we would say metaphorically. So how else does this happen, not just in a physical way in life? When else, and I'd love to have the kids involved, the adults too, welcome to join this. When is it not just physical things that come down? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, so human life, right? Human life, we grow up and then we go back down. We die. Yeah. I'm sorry? Sure. Great. Some attitudes, they certainly go up and down. Sometimes very positive. Beginning of the semester, this is a great semester, I'm excited about these classes. Then something happens sometimes. Yeah. Wait. Should go with wait. Survey says. Yeah. Yeah. So certainly that happens. Yes. Ah, yes. Stepping up and down the stairs. Yeah, good. Stocks. Yes. Seems like they'll go up forever. At least that's what they tell us. Yeah. Somebody else back here? No. Okay. What else might, if it goes up, comes back down? Yeah. Clothes? Clouds. Clouds. That's fantastic, because you know what clouds are? That's rising air. And then, like yesterday, it rains. And when the clouds go up, the rains tend to come down. No, that is good. So this is something that's true of our world, right? And you've identified this. This is true of physical things. It's true of our lives. And even the universe itself, right? The universe, we're told by scientists that someday it's just going to go dark and dead. There will be a day when it's just run down. It's run its course like a battery that's all done. Life does this. Our world does this. So our world is this way because of the curse, rebelling against God. And so I go back to the beginning of the Bible and the statement that God made. He created a good world that didn't do this. And he said to the man, to Adam, and then Eve as well, she got the message. The Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from the tree, in any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. One command, don't eat from this tree, and when you do, decay sets in. So what did Adam and Eve do? They ate from that tree, exactly. God said this, because you have done this, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Right? It's a profound statement that says for each one of us, we start with the stuff of the earth, and we end up being the stuff of the earth, that we are bound to this decay because of our separation from God. And so one way the Bible describes this is the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death says that anything that humans are a part of is going to be broken. And eventually, on its own, it will decay and die. Anything that humans are a part of, a relationship, a church, whatever it is, that there is decay and death. And this is a law just like the law of gravity, right? We can't say, well, I don't feel like following that law today. You know, it does anyway. We don't get that choice. This is the world we live in. So it raises the question, who or what can help us? And let's just pray and ask God to speak in our few minutes this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you that you welcome us. Jesus, we thank you are worthy to accomplish your work. And Father, we ask that even this morning you would accomplish your work in our hearts. We pray that you'd bring your life and your light to each one of us this morning. We do ask that, Father, and believe that you will. So help us to listen, open our hearts by the power of your Spirit. Through the authority of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The world's looking for help. We can't escape gravity. So I actually do have, you mentioned a few other things. I want to highlight a few other things. So Frisbee is a really cool invention, right? What happens when you throw a Frisbee? It flies first, right? So if I do that, look at how long it takes that Frisbee to come down, right? But it still came down. And there's that balloon. Watch this. So what happens when I throw a balloon up? Okay, so then some people have inventions. And so Forrest did this one for me. So what happens when I throw a paper airplane? Do you think it'll come down as fast as a basketball? Well, it'd be better if Forrest threw it. Here, Forrest, you better throw it, because you're much better at throwing paper airplanes than I am. Look at that. Oh, nicely done. So when I experience things in life, some things in life are like this basketball. Gravity seems very effective on it, right? And some things in life seem like the airplane. Gravity seems to let it be. But you know what? The same thing happens to all of it, whether fast or slow. And some of us are really good at resisting this pull. And yet none of us can completely do it. Some of us seems like that pull is so powerful on us, but we're all the same. It happens to all of us. And so people try to figure out, where do we find help in this? And in so much of the history of the world, and in so much of the world even today, what people do is they say there must be some sort of gods or spirits who can help us, right? There must be gods or spirits that have the right power in the right place. And if we pray or worship or sacrifice somehow, we'll get help against this thing that just keeps coming, this gravity that keeps pulling us down. In our modern world, what we believe in, what we love, is technology. There must be an app that will make my life better. Right, there must be a technique to relationships, or there must be a new way to engage with these things. There must be technology that will help us solve problems in the world. The modern world deeply believes that there's some sort of technology or technique that will help us deal with gravity. The postmodern world takes a different approach. And the postmodern world says, just be cynical. Don't believe in these things. Don't give up your hope for ultimate meaning and answers and rescue. Just accept that life's a journey and to say it's fine. It just is. Right? These are ways that each of us, I think, are pulled at different times. We say there must be some way to deal with this gravity, with this trouble that I can't solve. The Bible describes something fundamentally different. And so today, we're just going to look at a few verses from Romans 6. I've got the text up here. If you've got a Bible in front of you, go ahead, and I encourage you to turn there. The Bibles are certainly available if you want one, and it'd be a gift to you. But I just have the text up here, and let's just look at these short verses in the middle of a book that talks about the solution that God has provided. It says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Let's just take a minute to look at that. It says that people who become Christians, who become a part of this kingdom of God, it says we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're actually baptized into his death. And Jesus, who was perfect, who was free from the law of sin and death, nevertheless accepted that curse on himself in death for us. He came and died our death. He wasn't caught in the law of sin and death the way we are, but he said, okay, I'll take that on myself, and I will die that death, that curse. And so the Apostle Paul says, we, when we are baptized, are baptized into this death of saying, there's this law of sin and death, and in Jesus' death, he died to this law. And he says, we also are baptized into this death, to this death that separates us from this law. And then he says, we were buried with him in death in order that we would be raised with Christ. And Jesus rose to life in full victory over sin and death. His death was to take the power away from sin and death. His life was full victory over it. Said this law of sin and death is done. It's over. It's gone. And the apostle says that we are buried with Christ and then we are raised together with him. Jesus rose to life by the glory, by the power of God. And he says, same thing happens for us. That when we are baptized in Christ, when we are baptized with him, we die to the law of sin and death, and we are raised to a life that is free from that, that is outside of the power of sin and death, to say decay and death will always happen. So he says it again, that last phrase, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So that we're united with Jesus in his death to sin and in his rising to life. He says, this is it. This is the solution to the law of sin and death. It says everything's going to decay and die and be over. He says, well, Jesus has provided a different solution. He came and his death took the power away from sin and death. His life accomplished a full victory over sin and death. And he says, you can join in that. We can join in this. We can die with him and be raised with him. Right? Becoming a Christian is leaving the kingdom of death and decay. Right? We leave the kingdom with its power to say everything is going to decay and die. Everything is cursed. And we leave that. And then we enter the kingdom of life and light. We leave a kingdom where everything falls to the ground. Everything dies. We enter a kingdom where everything becomes more alive with time. It goes the opposite direction. So it's like this ball just going up and up, and I'd have to hold it down to keep it from going up. Right now, I can throw this ball in the air, and for a little while, it's going up, but it comes back down. So you mentioned being underwater. So, perfect illustration. In baptism, we go down under the water. By the power of God, we come back up. So there are times in our lives we say, wait a minute, it still feels like I'm going down. It still feels like things are broken and they're decaying. But the promise is that we're in a kingdom where that's only temporary. That we're in a kingdom where things become more and more alive as time goes on. Right? So we leave the kingdom of death and decay through death with Jesus. His was a literal death. He died. Ours is a figurative death in that sense. We don't have to physically die to enter this kingdom, to leave that kingdom. We die by being identified with Jesus. When he died, in some sense, we died with him. By the power of God, he did this. And we enter the kingdom of life and light through resurrection with Jesus by the glory of God. And I love this. The power of God that brought Jesus from death to life says it's the same power of God that causes us to enter this new life. Life, same power of God. It's taking us from the one kingdom of death and decay into the kingdom of life and light. Jesus died in the curse of death. He rose again to a glorious life, destroying the power of death. And as Christians, he invites us, as all of us, Christians or not, he invites us. He says, come in this way I have opened. Jesus opened a way for us to leave the kingdom of death and decay and enter the kingdom of life and light with him and through him. This is the good news, right? We don't have to find the right technique. We don't have to find the right power to say, for now I'll be okay and I hope this works out. We are given life and light through Jesus and being identified with him, to die with him and to be raised with him. Application is to rejoice. Right? This is the Apostle Paul goes on to say, therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no more For those who are in Christ, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That law no longer has power. So even though that we will die physically, we live with God. And we will live forever with him in his life. We're told that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And sometimes I say, if only we could conquer sin and death. He says, no, actually, we're more than conquerors because of what Jesus has done. So we'll not merely live again after death. We will live in limitless glory and joy and love forever. And we begin to experience it in this life now. This is the promise, that we will live in limitless glory and joy and love forever. So it's not merely we escape death. We enter into a life that is beyond our greatest hopes. This is the work of God. So we rejoice. And we need to learn to embrace this life, to re-see life through it. Right? For Christians in Christ's kingdom, sin, decay, and death no longer have the final say. They shout, they try to do things, but they don't have the final say. They don't have the final word. So this is where Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life. So even when we physically die, we are not separated from this life of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. There are no spiritual powers that can affect this, that can go up against God and take us from him. Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right? What an amazing reality about our lives. And we need to embrace this and to re-see life and say, you know what? There's a huge problem coming down the road to me. There's something bigger than I can handle. And yet we say, I'm convinced that because of dying with Jesus and being raised to life in him, it's not the final word. That's not what has the final power. That cannot separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so Paul says this, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the new kingdom. When it encounters evil, it overcomes it with good. Right? What a challenge to re-see life this way. To say, oh, there's a big evil coming my way. And we're told that the power of God in this new kingdom is that the power of God will win. That the life of God will be victorious over sin and death. And then this startling thing that was just before the passage we focused on today, that Paul said this, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Right? You can't win. When the sin can't win. When there's more sin, he says, there's even more grace, so that just as sin reigned as death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Right? When sin increased, he says, grace increased all the more. This is the kingdom of life and light in our God. So we embrace this life, and then we repent and be baptized and receive God's gift. And so one of the most famous sermons given in the Bible, when Peter described this life of God, the people said, what should we do? And he said this. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's an amazing invitation. He said to everybody, this is the invitation. Identify with who Jesus is. Identify with his work. Die with him to the power of sin and death and be raised to life by his power. And you'll be forgiven. You'll receive the forgiveness of sins. You'll be washed clean of those things. And not only washed clean, but given the goodness, the righteousness of Jesus. And we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says this is a promise to people who have grown up in a tradition that's familiar with these things. And he says this is also available for whom this was the first time they'd ever heard it. This is the invitation of God. Repent and be baptized. Identify with Jesus and his death and his entry into a new kingdom, into a new life. And so today we have the joy of celebrating baptism. I want to say just a couple of things about it and then invite the people forward. It's a physical expression and experience of a spiritual reality. So there's nothing special about this water. There's nothing in this sense that is required for salvation, for being a Christian. Water baptism is not required for salvation or being a Christian. Water baptism doesn't bring salvation or make you a Christian. But as we see it, baptism is a wonderful picture of our identification with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a joyous celebration by the church of new life in Christ. And so in baptism, it's practiced in different ways in different churches around the world. As we practice it, the symbolism to me is just so powerful of somebody not washing themselves, but somebody being lowered back into the water like being buried, by being laid down in death. And then somebody raising them up to new life, like being buried with Christ and raised with him. It's a beautiful picture of our identification with both the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus. And so then Paul says, now live as a living sacrifice, as somebody who is alive in this new kingdom, in the life of Christ. So becoming a Christian is leaving the kingdom of death and decay through the death of Jesus, through death with Jesus, and entering the kingdom of life and light through resurrection with Jesus by the glory of God. And so we are buried with Christ, and we are raised to life with Christ.